The word of the Lord to the prophet Samuel. We've been reading in 1 Samuel. I'm going to choose chapter 16 and verse 1 for the text, and I'll read it. He said to Samuel these words, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Father, I pray the Spirit of God would fill me and fill us to receive the Word of God tonight and to do what you want with it, Lord. It's your Word. Use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Samuel originally had counseled Israel, "Don't seek to have a king, because the king will rule you like he does the other nations. And I know you want to be like the world, but let God be your king and have your freedoms, and don't try to be like the world, because the king will take your liberties." Thank God we don't have a king. Amen. We have a president, a Congress, we have a Supreme Court, we have a constitutional republic. Thank God for that. And we have our God, and our rights come to us from God. And Samuel said, "Don't seek a king." But God said to Samuel, "You know, they want a king, and so give them what they ask for." Sometimes God will do that. He'll give you what you ask for and give them what they ask for. And so Samuel was led by the Lord to anoint a king. But the Lord told him that when you anoint this king, he's going to be a special person. And Samuel saw him, and he was about 6 feet, 6 inches tall. He was a very good-looking young man, humble and special. And Samuel's heart went out and thought, "Wow, that's the Lord's anointed here. And I'm the prophet, and I'm going to take a horn of oil and pour it over his head, signifying the power of the Holy Spirit is going to back his leadership." By the way, I do believe God the Holy Spirit still fills men to lead. Amen? I believe it. I believe that God anoints people to lead, and we need that today more than ever. And praise God for his anointing power, and we need to pray for that. But after Saul was anointed king, he began to win victories over the enemy by God's anointing power, but he started to disobey God and didn't follow God fully. And the Lord said to Samuel, I'm removing him from being a king. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:35, "Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul." Again, it says when God said to Samuel, I'm going to remove him from being king because God said, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments." And it says, and it grieved Samuel, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. He didn't get any sleep. It grieved him that God removes Saul from being his anointed king. And he was so set now on Saul and God's anointing and the victories, and he just couldn't take it. It just grieved him. And so we see that Samuel was grieving and mourning because of Saul's failure to have a heart that stayed right with God and followed God. Perhaps you've had somebody that you set your heart on to follow God and to be right with God. And perhaps it's somebody close to you, somebody that has your heart, and it causes you great grief that they don't love God like they should, that they don't follow the Lord like they should. Perhaps Samuel, when Saul failed, he thought about his own sons that weren't following God. Perhaps Samuel, when he saw Saul failed, he thought about himself and he said, "Somehow I blame myself for the failure of Saul to follow the Lord." And he grieved and chastened himself and couldn't sleep. Perhaps you've been there. You've done that. And God spoke to Samuel here in chapter 16 for my text in verse 1. And here are the words of the Lord that I want to preach to you tonight. This is the text for tonight. God said, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." So based on God's counsel to the prophet Samuel, I want to preach to you tonight a message called "Stop Your Mourning and Move On." Stop your mourning and move on. And I want to say three things about that tonight. Number one, by your facing the opposition of God's choice. In verse 2 of that same chapter, he says, that is, Samuel says to God, he says, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee, and I am come and to sacrifice to the Lord." So that's what Samuel would give as the reason. Not that he was going to anoint another king, but he would say, "I'm come to sacrifice." Now, he wasn't lying. He did come to sacrifice, but he just didn't tell the other part. And God said, "That's what I want you to do." Now, we know that the Holy Spirit of God left Saul. That doesn't mean that when you're saved, you lose the salvation of God. But what it means is when you're anointed for a work, God can take away that anointing if he so chooses. And he can take it away. He can take away the power that goes beyond that, behind that anointing. And that's exactly what happened with Saul. He was anointed with the power of God to be the king over Israel and to lead them to defeat the Lord's enemies. And God said, "I'm going to take away that power." And when he took away that power, another spirit, small s, came to him. And that was a devil, a fallen angel from Satan that God allowed. And that's why it says it's from the Lord, because God allowed it. And that spirit didn't possess Saul, but he began to oppress him and affect him and get him to do things that he wanted him to do. And what did he want him to do? He wanted him to be deranged against the anointed of God, who was David. And so he went against him. Let me tell you tonight, if you stop your mourning and move on and back those that God has blessed, you're going to get opposition from the devil. You're going to get opposition from the world. And you're going to get opposition from the flesh. And you've got to be able to stop your mourning and move on and not be afraid of the opposition that comes when you do that. And so that's exactly what happened. And I can't help but think of people that have, even the world is saying. First of all, I do believe Donald Trump has been anointed to be president of the United States. I believe that. I've said it and I believe it. I still believe it. He's anointed. You say, "Well, what if he's not even a saved man?" I don't know if he's a saved man, but I know Cyrus, it very clearly says he was anointed to be the head of Persia. And he did things to bless Israel. And God blessed him. And so I do believe Donald Trump has been anointed. Do people like it when I say that? Does everybody? I don't give a flip. I'm not here to please people. I'm not bought and paid for by people. I'm not raised up by God to please people. If that rubs you the wrong way, then turn that cat around. But I'm just saying to you, people have Trump derangement syndrome. Women have left men over Trump derangement syndrome. Family members have oppressed other people because of Trump derangement syndrome. And they have Benjamin Netanyahu derangement syndrome. And they have Israel derangement syndrome. I think of Tucker Carlson, Candace Owen, Megyn Kelly, Steve Bannon, Alex Jones. They have been on the right, and they have supported the anointed president maybe in 90% of what he does. They love it when he says America first. They love it when he says I'm against transgender and women and men and women's locker rooms. And they love it when he says you can't be an illegal immigrant. We'll throw you out. We stop illegal immigrants. They love it when he cuts taxes, and they love it when he gets the United States out of the World Health Organization and does these things at 90%, and they've been for him, but now that he is with Israel to fight Iran, who has a demonic spirit called the Prince of Persia affecting them, and who for about 47 years or so has oppressed the United States and killed our people. He hasn't even put boots on the ground over there, but yet they're making accusations. Tucker, he says questions all the time, and now he's questioning whether Donald Trump is the Antichrist. Well, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that attack that Tucker said he had at night from a demonic spirit got into him like Saul. And he's got Trump derangement syndrome. And he's got Israel derangement syndrome. He's an anti-Semite. And I'm against it. And I'm against Tucker and his diatribes. And Megyn Kelly, who's a grifter and an opportunist, and who's thrown in her lot and won't stand up against Candace Owens when she accuses Erica Kirk not only of being not a good wife, but of killing her husband. What kind of satanic mumbo-jumbo slander is that? I've heard enough. I said I've heard enough. It's time to move on. And stop mourning over people that may once have been on your side or supported. It's time to stop the mourning over these people and to move on in your life tonight and face the opposition that comes with backing God's anointed. And you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with that in an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Are people not going to like your preacher? They're not going to like your church. They're not going to like your Bible. They're not going to like your gospel. Get over it. Take your stand with them and stand up and do it. One thing I like about my wife, you attack anybody she loves and you better watch out. She's real pacifistic, but you attack somebody she loves and she's gonna stand up for him. I remember her brother's about 6 foot, what is he, four or something like that, big guy. And they were in Collingswood, New Jersey, and they called her brother Big Snot, or what was it? Help me out. She won't. Big Booger. And they called her Little Snot. And they didn't like Big Booger, and she was just Little Snot, but they were attacking him. They were all around him attacking her brother. She just took her purse, filled him with rocks, and came in there. I tell you, I like it. There's something about that I like. I don't know. But she defended Big Booger. Little Snot was in there. I'm just saying, move on. Stop your mourning and move on. And face, by your facing opposition for God's choice. And I'm moving on from Megyn Kelly and moving on from Alex Jones and moving on from anybody that will not go along with God's anointed. And that goes for Marjorie Taylor Greene. Moving on. You know, thank God for people that have taken good stands. But sometimes you just have to move on from those people and face the opposition that is going to come your way. Because you got two choices. Either I'm going to go along with the opposition so I can befriend them, or I'm going to move on from them and stand on the right side of things. And the latter is the wise choice. That's the choice you need to make. Stop your mourning and move on by facing the opposition of God's anointed. Secondly, by your finding the examples in the Bible of that. This is it right here. You know, God said to Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel?" And he didn't just say that. He said, not just move on from Saul. He said, "Fill thine horn with oil and go and send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." I like that. God said, I got somebody in Jesse's family that I want to bless. You move on. I got somebody in Jesse's family. And God spoke the truth about Saul and his being replaced when the prophet of God said to him, "Saul, the Lord hath rent the kingdom from thee this day and hath given it to a neighbor of thine," listen, "that is better than thou." Not only move on and face the opposition against God's anointed, but find examples of the Bible. And when you look in the Bible, you're going to find when you move on, you'll get something better than you had. When you move on, listen to me, from what God doesn't want, you'll get something better than what you had. And God told Samuel, "You tell Saul, I've got somebody better than you, and I'm going to find him, and I'm going to anoint that person." Saul didn't like that, and he fought it, but he died, amen, fighting it. You fight God, you're going to die. You see this better than thou in God hates divorce, amen. Because it's sin that causes divorce, and that's what God hates, the sin that causes divorce. But don't think in the Bible God doesn't have a remedy for sin, and there are times in the Bible when people have to move on. And it happens. You can read about it in 1 Corinthians 7. In the case of a believer, somebody that commits fornication and breaks that marriage covenant by committing sexual immorality, again, that's a very serious thing with God, and God says that's a grounds for divorce and remarriage. Matthew 19 and 1 Corinthians 7. Another one is, you marry somebody and they prove to be an unbeliever. They profess to be a believer, but they prove to be an unbeliever. And they abandon that man or that woman. God says you can move on. That's a remedy in the Bible. Don't go to the right hand or the left. Don't you get right of God or left of God. Stay right down what God says. That's a remedy in the Bible. The Bible doesn't encourage you to do it. But there are times when you need to move on. I'm thinking about Vashti, the queen of Persia. And the king had his problems. We know that, the king of Persia. Ahasuerus in the Bible, Xerxes 2 in history. But God said, okay, I've got somebody better to be the queen. And Vashti was removed. And the one that replaced was Hadassah or Esther. And she was truly raised up by God to deliver the Jewish people. And she went into the king and said, "If I perish, I perish." You think Vashti would have done that? No. Esther was better than Vashti. The second wife was better. And there was a time that he had to move on and to get another woman. And God did that. And thank God for that. And there are times when that has had to happen. I think of Denny Owen in our church. He's in heaven. He had a wife that was a serial adulterer and a fornicator. And he got divorced. And God gave him a Catholic nun who got saved and then became a Baptist called Marian Owen. Anybody knows Marian Owen knows she's better. She's better. There's a time to move on. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time for this and a time for that. And there's a time to move on. And you melancholics, it's a time to move on tonight from what's not as good. And that's what Samuel had to understand from God. And God told him that. He said, I got somebody better, Samuel. I know you're tied in with that, but I fired Saul, and I've got somebody better. One thing I know is about Donald Trump, these people can fight him, but he's God's anointed, and he'll just say, I'm moving on from you. And guess what? Tucker's going to lose. Trump's going to win. You say, how do you know that? Look at it. It always happens that way. Just watch it. Who won, Saul or David? He gave Saul a lot of, Saul gave him a lot of grief. Just like Jesus, the devil gave him a lot of grief, put him on the cross. But up from the grave, he rose. He's ascended. He's at the right hand of God. He's coming again. He's greater. And I've moved on from Adam, my first father. He's a cursed covenant. Saul is a type of Adam, the first king. Adam was under a covenant of works. And when he sinned, he lost his kingdom. And that's what happened to Saul. And Saul fought it. But don't fight Jesus. You don't have to fight Jesus. He'll save you and help you and bless you if you'll accept him. There's only two kinds of people in the world, those that accept Jesus by faith and those that reject him. I'm here tonight to say I've accepted him by faith. He's God's ultimate anointed, and he's going to win. I check it out in the Bible. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. I serve a risen, ascended, victorious Savior. And you need to praise him tonight by finding the examples in the Bible that tell you that what God replaces the failure with is better than the former one. I see it not only there, but I see it in the generation of the Israelites that came out of Egypt with Moses and saw the miracles and saw the Red Sea split and saw 10 miracles in the wilderness, and yet they refused to believe God every time they were tested. Thank God for Jesse Krisge. And men that are tested in their faith when everything is going against them, and they keep on serving God. Calls me every day for prayer. Why? He's coming to the man of God to help. When people run away from me, I know why they do it. They're not looking for God's help. But when they come to the man of God and they say, you pray, I know what they're looking for. When they come to church and they hear the word of God face to face, I know what they're looking for. And God does too. Samuel knew that. Moses saw that first group of Israelites. He loved them. He poured his life out for them. And they just kept rejecting it. And God said, I'm going to kill every last one of them. There's going to be approximately 80 funerals every day until every one of those people that finally refuse to go into the land, they're going to die in the wilderness. They're going to die out, and everyone 19 years of age and younger are going to grow up and take their place. They're going to be a better congregation, and they're going to go in and follow Joshua. And Joshua got the pastorate of those people. Thank God I took the pastorate of Moses and outlived them. And I got a better group. Praise God. One man said, he said, my secret is I've outlived my enemies. Keep praying for Trump. I pray get a third term. I don't know how. I don't know how. But I know I like to get behind God's anointed. I like to see the blessing of God in a man's life. And I like to get behind it. I don't envy it. I don't envy great men of God that are preachers. I like my people exposed to them. I want them to get it. That's what we need today. I'm saying stop your mourning and move on by facing the opposition to God's anointed, by your finding examples of that in the Word of God, and we have seen it. I remember when I first came to Scranton, I didn't have that concept, and I had a guy, I kept witnessing to him. I had Bible studies with him. I kept working with him and working with him and working with him. And finally, I realized I got to move on. He's not getting it. If I move on and God wants to get him, he'll get him. But don't just stay with one person. Move on. Remember Jesus? He gave the gospel to Israel, and they rejected it, and he cursed the fig tree. He said, I'm going to move on. He gave them another opportunity, had his apostles, offered them the kingdom. They rejected it, and Paul said, we're turning to the Gentiles. We're moving on. And now you have mostly Gentiles in the body of Christ, in the church. You see, God replaced them, and he moved on to provoke them to jealousy. And that's what you need to do. The best thing you can do for somebody that replaces it is move on. Get God's blessing and put behind you what was and live it down and don't stay with it. I have learned a long time ago to let obedience to God determine who will be closest to me rather than those closest to me determine my degree of obedience to God.
Good.
You need to make that same choice. You know, I go out on fishing boats. I went out with my grandson this past year, went out fishing and went out in the Atlantic Ocean. And we were fishing out there, way out there in the Atlantic. I thought we were halfway to Africa. We were way out there. And sometime we'd get fish biting, but sometimes there'd be no fish biting at all, and the captain of the boat would move on and he'd go to another place, and then all of a sudden, man, we're catching fish. There's a time to move on in soul winning. You know, sometimes you want to be a great commissioned Christian, and you say, I want to go out soul winning, I want to teach somebody to go soul winning, and somebody go out with you and they drop out on you. Well, you know what I do? I pick somebody else. I don't just wait for that person to come back and do nothing. I go get somebody new and replace them. You say, why do you do that? God says, move on. It's time to stop mourning and move on. And when you do that, you're going to face opposition from the enemy of it. You're going to find examples, though, in the Bible of it, and you need to follow those examples. And lastly, stop your mourning and move on tonight by your forward progress instead of backsliding back. You know, that becomes a problem sometimes. Instead of stopping your mourning and move on, you try to stay back with the backslider. I've had that happen in my ministry where people try to pull me back. And I think about Nehemiah, who said, why should the work cease while I come down and talk to you? I'm doing a great work. You know, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says that family members and friends, when the people left the Old Testament worship that was no longer relevant because Christ had made a new and living way, and these people were going forward with Jesus, and the Jewish priest was saying, no, stay back, and the family members were saying, no, stay back, and the new believers, the Jewish believers, they said, we can't go back. You had our funeral when we got baptized. We're not going to go back. Some people did go back and said, you had my funeral, but I'm back, Dad. I'm back, Mom. You want to go back with backsliders in your family? Go ahead.
Jesus. Come on, man.
I'm going forward.
Jesus. Man.
I love my family, but I love my Jesus more.
Man.
I'm going forward. And you have a choice to make. Some of you go back to old friends. You used to be hobnobbing with them. You got away from them. You made commitment. Now you're going back. You're a backslider. And there's an altar right here to get right with God tonight. as you've been backsliding. I'm saying, stop your mourning and move on by your forward progress instead of your sliding back into things that you gave up at youth conference, things that you gave up at camp. Why should you now go back on those things? No, God wants you to stop your mourning and move on. And when you do that, you're going to face opposition from family and friends that don't like it that you're back in God's anointed. But that's all right. That's all right. And you're going to find in the Bible examples of that. And you're going to make forward progress. The Bible says David went on and grew great, and the Lord was with him. I find out when I stop my mourning for backsliding and I move on from the Sauls in my life that God is with me. That's the best thing I could do for anybody that's back there. You know, Lot's wife, she stayed behind. Lot and his daughters were moving ahead. She stayed behind. She thought, what about my family? What about the city? You know what Jack Kyle said? He said, the greatest enemy of fundamentalism, I've shared it many times when I was with Jack Hiles, one of the pastors asked him, Dr. Hiles, what's the greatest enemy of fundamentalism? He looked right at me and he said, the greatest enemy of fundamentalism, first of all, we need to understand fundamentalism is simply God's word, the King James Bible, the truth of God. Amen. He said, the greatest enemy of that is adults following their children away from God. Now, you need to move on. Stop your mourning and move on. Number one, by facing the opposition of God's anointed. Number two, by finding the examples of it in the Word of God. And number three, by your forward progress instead of backsliding back. Let's bow for prayer tonight. I believe God is...